Can you turn me down just a bit? Oh. But I've just been leaking all morning. It ain't about looking pretty up here. Sister Sheila, do you have a word? Did God give you something?
The only thing that God has given me up here is this is a holy house. So we've got to resist the devil so that he will continue to flee from our lives.
Amen. Amen. Receive that word. We're not here to tickle your ears, to give you goosebumps. This has been on my heart, but to give you truth. For the truth shall set us free.
Yes.
Lord God, I just come. I'm not worthy. I'm nothing but a mere man that you have called at this moment. Father, I pray that you would be seen, not me. That I will not put myself before you, but that you would be heard. Let me not say anything that you have not instructed, nor ordained, nor commanded me to speak. For I'm hid in Christ Jesus, and that you will be at the forefront. Father, have your way this morning. Touch our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread, for man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that comes off, that spews out of your mouth, my Father. Not out of my mouth, but out of your mouth. Feed us this day, Lord God. Have your way. Let your glory continue to fall. May your Shekinah glory continue to rest upon us, Lord. We want to bask in that corporate anointing continuously. You have permission to do whatever you need to do, Lord. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is a God of honor. He's a God of truth. He's a God of revelation. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. But never forget that he is a God of wrath. Never forget that our Father, he says, I chastise those that I love. Never forget we serve a loving God. We are in a dispensation of the new covenant, of the New Testament, of the mercy and grace. But read the old covenant. That reveals the anger of God. You cannot do away with the old, nor can you do away with the new, because it's all God. Put it all together, and you got God. This morning, the title is, Where Are We Standing? We must get to high ground, holy ground.
Amen.
This is a holy place. Understand that wherever God is, it is holy.
Amen.
Grab hold to that.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the dump where there's trash, keep in mind we're nothing but trash. Don't think more highly of yourself than it's only because of the mercy of grace of God.
Amen.
But even if you're at the dump and you're talking, All of a sudden you begin to minister. There's two or more. Did you know that's holy ground? Wherever God is. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me get my spectacles. I will tell you, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives for a purpose. And I continue to always say this, and God put me to test. Whatever you go through, there is always a spiritual implication behind it. And I will tell you, when I was sick with COVID, that was probably the sickest I had ever been. But God had to put me on my back and to almost paralyze me because he had some things to speak to me that I was unwilling to hear and hearken unto his voice. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses! And he said, Lord, here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes, off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Sometimes we lose our fear. When we who have been saved for a minute or two, and we begin to do some jacked up stuff behind the scene, I like to say you're spiritually insane. You have lost your cotton-picking mind. I'm telling you, God doesn't play. I want to read it out of the Amplified. Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, Sinai, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a blazing flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, behold, the bush was on fire, but yet it was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn away from the flock to see this great sight, why the bush is not burning up. When the Lord saw that he had turned away from the flock to look, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet out of respect to me, because the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. I want to lift up Mr. Ray before I move forward, because he had an accident the other day where they were putting him in a, transporting him, but anyhow, the back wheels weren't locked, and he fell back and bust his head. So I do want to lift him up. Lord God, we come right now, and we lift up Mr. Ray as we say that your house should be called a house of prayer. Lord God, we must be instant in season and out of season. And so, Father, we lift him up. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon him, that it would drip from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We pray for a quick and speedy recovery, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord God, that there will be no after effects because of the fall, Lord God, that the swelling will subside, Lord God. And so, Father God, we just dispatch the angels right now to bring comfort to him, as I know that he wanted to come. But God, bring comfort to him. Minister to his spirit and his soul right now where he is. Bring him peace, bring him joy, and bring him hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Many Christians have experienced the excitement of touring the Holy Land. They have felt the exuberance of walking where Jesus walked and kneeling where Jesus knelt. They have witnessed the wonder of life while standing at the empty tomb. These sacred experiences will linger with them for a long, long time until they leave this earth. But it is not just the location that is important. One may come upon holy ground in many places along the pathway of everyday life. Grab hold to that. It's not just in the sanctuary. This is a holy place. We pray over this sanctuary. We anoint it. We prepare it for the vessels that are going to come up here, that is going to stand behind the lectern and to deliver the word of God. This is a holy place. This is a holy, the whole church. But this is where we come to receive the glory of God, the word of God, and allow the Shekinah glory of God to fall upon us corporately. Moses made such a discovery when traveling through the Sinai. He was not on a holy pilgrimage at that time, believe it or not. Many times we will encounter God when we least expect it. I did. I'm going to try to stay the course here, but God have his way. Holy ground is one of my favorite songs, because I was stooped in sin. I was a wretched man. You've heard my testimony. On drugs, alcoholic, doing every drug that was known to mankind, breaking into homes, stealing, robbing. I know it's hard to believe. No, it ain't. We do stuff when we don't walk with the Lord. Oh, but that day, that day in North Carolina, I still wasn't looking for him. But they began to play on holy ground. And the Spirit of God came in and knocked me out. And I haven't been the same since. May not be where I want to be, but I'm far from where I used to be.
Amen. Amen.
It ain't time for foolishness, folk. This, let me tell you, this is for us. I ain't going to say this ain't for us. What's the purpose of me preaching if it ain't for you? This is for us and you who are listening by YouTube. Time out for play. It's time out for God. Moses was not on a holy pilgrimage. He was just being faithful to the menial task of his father-in-law, Jethro, in which he was given, and that was caring for the sheep. Preachers, pastors, care for the sheep. Pastors, care for the sheep. Not the building, not the money you're making, not your luxurious car, not praying for millionaires. Care for the sheep of God.
Hallelujah.
Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. But it was here in this commonplace, engaged in this ordinary job, that Moses received a most unusual revelation. When he departed from this desert place, he left with the keen conviction that he had walked on sacred ground. Give us that revelation, God. May we receive not just what we hear. Give us the revelation when we come. That when you're here, then we recognize the holiness, the deity, the sanctification of your presence. This morning I want to touch briefly on four things. And I'm going to call it out. On four things: alone with God, alert to God, aligned with God, and allied with God. Four in the Bible represents support and stability. Everything in the word, there is a purpose and a reason. Seek the word out. Study it. Search it for yourself. But four represents support and stability. Five represents what? Balance. And we know seven represents completeness or fullness. God created the earth in 7 days, basically. He rested on one. Let's go to alone with God. God is a jealous God. It is a personal relationship. And we must cultivate our alone time with the Father. I enjoy the corporate prayer. I love it. But it is something wonderful when we get into our private time, our alone time with God, so that He can speak those things unto us. If we examine the biblical record, we learn that Moses discovered this holy place while he was alone with God. He had been in livelier places. He had sat in majestic courts. He probably had marched in grand parades. He definitely stood on royal ground. But not until he was alone with God did he stand on holy ground. Grab hold to that. You can't make it holy. You dirty it up. When you get in the way, you dirty it up. And eventually God will expose and he will begin to show, wait a minute. That ain't God, that's you. It's a dangerous place, people. In Pharaoh's palace, there were way too many loud voices, cries, and too many beckoning hands for him to hear. One of those voices may have been Jehovah Jireh. One of those hands may have been directed by the Lord, but it would have been difficult to discern which one. How many times have we had so many voices and we're trying to discern, is that God or is it not God? Is it God or is it not God? In the silent wilderness, that was where the solitary voice came and spoke. When it broke the stillness of the desert, there was no doubt that it was God. And his utterance transformed the wasteland of Sinai into a sanctuary. Wherever you are, when God comes, whether you're locked up, there comes a peace that surpasses all of our understanding. Your alone time with God is very important, people. Alone time with God is extremely important to hear what thus says the Lord, to give you the discernment that you need. The understanding that we need. Number two, alert to God. I want you to notice that Moses detected this unique situation because he was alert to God. There is really nothing holy about a burning bush in itself, believe it or not. Because in the desert where it's arid, it's very easy for something to catch fire. So the burning bush in itself, no. Many of us missed it. Minister Sheila said something the other day. And it's a revelation for many preachers and pastors. When Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The lambs are the little ones. The sheep are the mature ones. Many times we read the word and we bypass certain things. God is saying the young need to be fed as well as we old folk. Fed with truth, not coming from Pastor Mike. Truth according to the word of God. Let it line up, precept upon precept, line upon line. Moses could have passed this event off as just a common occurrence. But he was alert to every moment, looking for God to appear in any circumstance. His keen eyes fastened upon the burning bush and watched it long enough to see, that it's not being consumed. This careful observation brought him one step closer to that divine revelation. Aligned with God. Are you aligned with God? Aligned with God. Are we aligned with God? Observe further that Moses found holy ground because he aligned himself with God. See, we talk holiness, holy, holy, holy. We, as children of God, we cannot get away from it. God is a holy God. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We can't get away from it. Let me tell you, I'm deviating, so when I pastored in Louisa for 10 years, the congregants used to say, "Pastor Mike, how come we can't get away with anything?" So I would listen, just listening to this and that. I said, "Well, why would we want to get away with sin?" Why do we want to get away with sin? You do know that sin is what separates us from God. Many of us sin and don't even recognize we're sinning because you're in sin so much. I'm speaking to all of us. We don't even recognize the wickedness. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves," get yourself out the way, "and pray, seek my face," not his hand. Buddy, you got to turn from your wicked ways though. This is what the Father says. Amen. This is not according to Pastor Mike. Let me tell you something. I don't agree with everything in the Bible. You probably ain't never heard no preacher say that. I don't agree with everything in the Bible. But did you know God didn't ask my opinion on it? So you keep on thinking, "Yeah, y'all, y'all holy, so y'all agree with everything." No, you just ain't being honest. I'm being honest. I don't agree with everything that I read in the Bible. But God don't ask my opinion on it. He just said, "If you love me, you're going to obey." Maybe that's a revelation for some of us. Stop trying to figure it out. I remember this wonderful couple. Wife began to come to our church. And we began to pray for her husband. And he began to come. And I was preaching one Sunday. And I just said, "Stop trying to figure out God. Just get stupid for him." Amen. And that brother said, "I can do that." Because he was very analytical. I didn't know. But I said, "Stop trying to analyze and figure God out. Just get stupid for him. We want to figure everything out." Yeah. Let me tell you something. Don't none of us know it all. God says you only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. Let's just get aligned with God. Do this thing right. So that the miracles can come forth. So that the healings can come forth. So that the Shekinah glory of God can come and fall upon us. So that the fire can fall upon us. So that when God brings the visitors, that they would come and the fire will catch them. And then they will leave and go to that church. And that church will get on fire. Fire begets fire. The glory falls and the glory moves. It ain't for me. It ain't just for me. Yeah. Everything that God gives you, he wants you to give it away. Stop consuming it on your own lust. Everything that God has given us, he wants us to give it away. If you're anointed, or you think you are, it's not for you. It's so that God can get the glory and the anointing of God can fall upon others. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not me. The anointing, the glory, the presence, the power, the authority of God resting upon a vessel, a soul. Aligned, allied to God. You're an ally, allied to God. Consider also that Moses, Holy Land tour, continued beyond the burning bush because he allied himself with God. He said, here I am. Here I am. Never say, here I am. Grab hold of what I'm saying. He said, Lord, here I am. Not here, Pastor Mike is. Here I am, Lord. Let thy will be done. You come forth, Lord. I hunger and I thirst after you. Teach me thy ways. Purge my heart with hyssop. For I'm hidden in Christ Jesus. And he said, here I am. As Jesus said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. In essence, Moses was saying that he was on the Lord's side. Sometimes we think that we're on the Lord's side, and it's my side. We think that we're on the Lord's side, but sometimes we have the wrong motives. I can only preach the Bible, the Word of God. And it says that many are going to say, didn't I prophesy in thy name? Didn't I lay hands? Didn't I cast out? All that. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You had other motives. You had other motives. Only God knows the intent of a man's heart. But let me tell you something. God will reveal the intent of people's hearts to his servants many times. God always makes a way of escape. In essence, Moses was saying he was on the Lord's side. Not the Lord just on his side. He was on the Lord's side. Have your way, Lord. His words were keen to the phrase the Apostle Paul would say later. Lord, what will thy have me to do? Acts 9:6. Without this kind of dedication, there probably would not have been a Passover feast. The Jews probably would not have crossed the Red Sea, and there probably would not have been a nation of Israel as we know it. In closing, These revelations are not confined to the Bible alone. There are many Christians today who have had similar encounters with the Heavenly Father. Perhaps you have often thought that your life was mundane and ordinary. You may have never gone to Israel. You may never go to Israel. You may not have ever left the state. Believe it or not, I've known individuals that have never left the state of Virginia. When we lived in Louisa, believe it or not, I had talked to individuals who had never left Louisa. I was like, how is that possible? Literally, I've never left Louisa. I'm like, what are you talking about? How is that possible? That's like prison. But regardless how mundane your life may seem to be for you, I'm here to tell you it is very important and it is very special to God. God has ordained your pathway with many holy milestones. But where is holy ground? We say many things. But where is holy? Can we find it with MapQuest or Google Maps? My wife probably can. No. Because she gets lost all the time. And my daughter get mad. What's wrong with you, Mom? I haven't done this in a while. My oldest daughter is here, and I like for her to stand. Audrey L., stand. I'll get that late. I'll be reprimanded later, okay? It's all good. I'm used to it. Pastor Eric is the only one that has never been in trouble. with the family. Well, I know. And my grandson, would you lift him up? Coden. He's a praise and worshiper. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Is holy ground in our sanctuary or in your sanctuaries? The location, now listen to this, the location of holy ground is shared in the text in which I read out of Exodus. It is where we find the presence of God, nothing more, nothing less. Holy ground is where we find the presence, the deity, the indwelling of the anointed God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Holy ground is any place where we allow God's presence to enlighten our minds and our hearts. Holy ground is any place where God's will is made clear to each of us. I can't make God's purpose clear for you. I can direct you, but ultimately you have got to get into the presence of God alone and you alone and to hear what God is saying for you. Because we pastors, we are human, and we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. It is our responsibility to get you to a place where you are dependent upon God, where your eyes are focused on Him, where you begin to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, God, not my will be done, but thy will be done. His glory. Never take God's glory. Never put God's glory. I don't want you to put God's glory on me, because God gonna break, bust me down. Humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Holy ground is any place that demands that we remove our shoes. Any place that demands that we discard that which comes before us and our Heavenly Father, our Holy God, God's holiness. In that light, one may need to take off the shoes of pride. It's nothing worse than an arrogant, prideful, boastful preacher. We may need to take off our shoes of selfishness. Take off the shoes of false humility. You don't know what false humility is? You better get in the spirit to discern that. That's why many church folk are deceived, because they don't recognize that these leaders are walking in false humility, masquerading that they are humble, but yet they have other motives underneath the radar. So you get into your private time of God and ask God, God, give me spiritual discernment. Give me understanding. Let me not judge by the mere appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what the word says. Discernment, understanding. Let me tell you, my wife can tell you, I will cut my arm off before I hurt any sheep. Mm-mm. I'm telling you. I'll pluck these eyeballs out. Because I say to you preachers, you are spiritually insane. And you will have a day of reckoning when you will stand before the Heavenly Father and give an account for your wicked ways and your wicked deeds. Oh, the day of reckoning is coming. Take off the shoes. You may in light have to take off the shoes of false humility. Take off the shoes of foolishness. You may have to take off the shoes of anger. We're talking on holy ground. We can't bring this stuff. Let me tell you, if we deem it holy and we bring in all this stuff, no, you don't see you don't recognize the deity of God. You may have to take off the shoes. Ooh. Backstabbing. You may have to take off the shoes of two-facedness. What does that mean? I smile in your face and I talk behind your back. People, whoa, whoa, whoa. For me to smile in your face, thinking you my friend, then I blaspheming you behind your back. Yeah, grandpa. When we come on holy ground, you may have to take off the shoes of double tongue. You may have to take off the shoes of ungodliness, of ungodly judging. Let me tell you something. Owe no man anything but to love him. Pray for people. God doesn't inhabit the complaints of his people. He doesn't inhabit the complaints of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Pray one for another. If you discuss an issue with a sister or a brother, let me tell you this. If you discuss an issue with a sister or brother and you don't bring it to prayer, all you have done is murmured and complained, and you have allowed the devil to use you. Discuss it. Commit it to prayer. Correct prayer. Let he who is without sin, I can't cast no stone on nobody. How dare I? Or on holy ground, you may have to take off the shoes of being critical. Take off the shoes of greed. You may have to take off the shoes of gossip. You may have to take off the shoes of slander. You might have to take off the shoes of jealousy. You may have to take off the shoes of lust. Many types of lust. I can't stand her or him. You need to take off the shoes of hatred and bitterness. You may have to take off the shoes of unforgiveness. It's nothing worse than that bitter root. That bitter root in your spirit is like cancer, people. It will rob the glory. It will rob the anointing. It will rob your peace. It will rob your forgiveness. That bitter root, forgiveness is not for the other person. It is for you. Forgive. Or we might have to take off the shoes of revenge. Hence those shoes, those things that we wear during our earthly walk will need to be removed if they serve as barriers to God's holiness. I'm telling you, God wants to get us right. God has a mighty calling on this ministry and on your ministry. But we must do it God's way and allow him to be at the forefront. Let us resolve today that we must get to holy ground. Praise God if we have been blessed to arrive to holy ground. Praise God if we have been blessed to arrive to good ground. But woe unto us if we use personal ambitions, personal elevation, personal goals, false humility, self-righteousness as substitutes for being holy. Holiness is God's standard of moral and ethical living. Holiness bespeaks of the intentionality of righteous living, even though we struggle with the sinful flesh. We so desire to want to live a holy life. We may struggle, but we desire for holiness, for God's presence to dwell within our lives. See, grace is what Christ gave us as our Savior. Obedience is what we seek to give Christ as our Lord. Let us resolve not to settle for high ground. Let us not settle for good ground. Let us strive to live in a manner that reflects God's holiness in our lives. We do this not to earn salvation, but in response to the salvation that was freely given to us. We must get to holy ground. You hear me speak a lot about Shekinah glory. All that is God's presence, his indwelling power resting upon us. That's what I want on an ongoing basis. His Shekinah glory to rest upon us, to where it changes us minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, and day by day. Do you want his glory? Come on. Do you want his glory in a greater way? Don't shout me down. Do you want his glory in a greater way? Or do you just want church? Do you want the presence of the Lord, the living God, to reside and to rest upon us? Okay. Well, I am finished.